Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. We are back again. We've just had round six in the A-League Men, and I'm joined tonight by Jake Holub, back on the podcast from Victoria. And what's it been? Two weeks, I think, since you've been on the pod. 3 weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks. Glad to be back.
Cool.
Glad to be back. Talk about everything A-League for round six. It was a solid enough week. It was weird how we only had five games instead of six this week. So it was a bit shorter than, obviously, every other week. But nonetheless, it's still, obviously, as always, in this beautiful league, always going to be talking points because, like, we just love chaos, I guess. I don't even know.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's actually, there's actually plenty to talk about from these five games. Plenty of goals as well, which, I mean, eight came from one game, but we had a 4-4 draw, and we also had like two of probably the worst games this season so far earlier that day on the Saturday as well. I would argue, so that Saturday was very interesting. Auckland, Newcastle, City Wanderers and MacArthur Brisbane. Then we had like we also had another drunk game on Friday between Adelaide and Perth, and then I think the Western victory game was pretty standard yesterday. Anyway, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to change up the structure of the podcast a little bit. So we'll just do just a bit of a game by game review of the round. We'll try and keep things as brief as we possibly can. But me and Jake often have a lot of analysis on a lot of different things in the A-League. So yeah, we'll do our best. And then we'll have a little break. We'll do, obviously, the Matildas have played Brazil twice. Now, the Front Page Dub guys will probably give a greater sort of review of the Matildas window once it's all said and done. They've got a couple more games against Chinese Taipei. Jake, you're going to the one on Wednesday?
Yep. On Amy Park. Very, very excited for that one there.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them in a while, like in person, so it'll be great.
Yeah, so you'll be at Amy Park on Wednesday, and then they're also playing in Geelong. They'll probably on Front Page Dub have a big sort of review of that to go along with the A-League Women's content. And yeah, we'll finish with some predictions for round seven, just some quick fire score predictions. I did not do well in round six, not well. So yeah, only got one correct score and two correct results. So yeah, okay, let's start. Adelaide United, Perth Glory, first game on Friday night in round six. And Jake's been smiling. Jake was really keen to talk about this game because he wants to hear me abuse Adelaide United for their inability to win this game. But I'm actually going to start with you.
Honestly, it's probably good to get me out of the way.
I'm intrigued by what you say, and then I'll go off that. So what was your sort of takeaways from this game? Because I think there's actually some things to talk about from a Glory perspective here too. So what did you kind of, take away from it?
Yeah, I think, so Adelaide, to be fair, I know you haven't been the biggest fan of, the wise man this season, but it was actually interesting as it was very similar to last week where they started in a little bit of a different shape and it just wasn't really working out for them. Changed to that sort of three at the back sort of system. Kiddo was sort of tucked in. You had Prius, who was probably the main sort of factor, bombing up on the right. And yeah, they just looked like a completely different team. Looked very threatening, creative. Obviously had that chance with Rians that was ruled off for offside. Was a handball? I can't remember.
It was offside. It was officially offside. Yeah.
Right. But yes, so obviously they had that. And then they cop because they created so many chances that first half. Couldn't convert. Then, simple ball just kind of falls a target, put it away 1-0. And you're like, are Perth going to be able to somehow snag the most BS ever win? But to be fair, I think Viet probably gave him a good spray half time, came out firing, obviously Clough and Vrians. I think, within the space of 1 minute, grabbed a goal each, so put them back up. But they just can't hold on. They just can't hold. They just cannot put away the chances to give themselves that sort of two-goal sort of cushion in a game. They're just always sort of lagging, like sort of a goal here and there. And then, you just need one goal, one chance, tag it with a ridiculously good header. Don't know how he squeezed it in. It was very good from him. 2-2, and yeah, Perth Glory held on. Fair play to them. It's better from them. Like, they're just sort of figuring. Well, like, I definitely remember Drulic talking about it post game. He was like, look, right now we're just not there at the moment for the pressing. So it's sort of pragmatic approach. Let's just play, park the bus almost, just play defensive sort of style, counter-attacking. Try to settle into games and see if we can get chances. If you've got someone like Adam Taggart, that helps. You can just convert those chances, that the few chances you might create. So it can work at times, and it did there. But I think it probably mostly this game mostly reflects on Adelaide United just not being clinical enough. Just need to put away those chances they're creating. I think it's the signs are there, but yeah, they just need someone to just step up. I don't know.
Okay, so let's be clear. So you thought Adelaide United started with a different shape?
No, yes. So from what I remember, obviously it was the first game played, so I can't exactly remember.
Okay.
But I
I
remember
remember
going.
very clearly. So yeah, just
Fair
as you
enough.
were
No,
saying.
because I remember it was more of a fullback or isn't it? But like, as in Kiddo was getting a little bit more further forward, and Prius was like, they were relatively sort of even on either side. Prius wasn't getting as advanced. It almost looked more like a four at the back from what I can remember. Or even did Prius even go into the like back three at times? I can't even remember. But
Yeah. So
yeah.
yeah. So let's start from the start of the Brisbane game just quickly with Adelaide. So you
Yep.
go because this is a 2 week thing that's happened. So start of the Brisbane Roar game, Adelaide United start in a 4-3-3. They change up from their 3-4-3 that they've been building with in possession.
Yep.
Change to a 4-3-3. So Prius and Kiddo as natural fullbacks. Clough on the right, disgusting. Anyway, like just bizarre sort of. Like it was Carl, like he went back to basically what they were doing last year, and it just didn't work at all. No surprise. And Brisbane were good in the first half, took the lead, etc. We talked about this last week. Then at halftime of that game, they changed it back. They won the game. They look great. Okay, come into this game against Perth. Adelaide started in that shape. No worries. First 30 minutes, totally dominant. Should have honestly been 2 or 3 nil up. And I don't know why. I don't know why. But he changed, not the system. He didn't change the system. He changed the personnel around. So, Dylan Piraeus, Jake, Dylan Piraeus, probably the best attacking outlet, one of the best attacking outlets in the A-League men this season, was taken out of his right wing back role, basically right winger role, that's made him such a threat this season, and was playing as a right center back for 15 minutes. I shit you not. Go watch. I'm not delusional when I say this. Go watch the game. I was obviously, I had to see in the media box. I saw the whole pitch. And I swear, if you go watch the replay on Paramount, whatever, just watch Adelaide's shape from the 30th to the 45th minute. I swear. Piraeus is playing as a right centre back. Kiddo is more advanced. I don't know why. Like, okay, whatever. Fellaini then switched to the right. That's how they did it. Anyway, so that's fine. All good. But then, so. Like, it's not fine, in my opinion. Like, I don't know why Dylan Pierce would play as a right centre back, but you could be like, okay, whatever. Then he changed it at the start of the second half. Jake, like you said, they started the second half really well. They got the two goals. You're thinking, okay, like, they're just going to go and win this 3 or 4-1. Perth have done it again, where they've conceded two goals really quickly. And then Adelaide, which was the other side of this, allowing transition moments again from opposition teams. And this is not a new issue. This is the same as last year with Adelaide. And yeah, they're undefeated. And some people listening to this will be like, can this guy calm down? They're undefeated. But it's like, it's not, it's like, it's kind of like Melbourne Victory's undefeated streak last year to start the season. It's just kind of like, it's really not that impressive at the moment, in my opinion. I think they've played some really good patches, and I think it's because they've got some really, like, some good talent, and they've got. What I like about them is they've got a really good technical team, like a team that can really dominate the ball when they want to. But I mean, the coaching, like you have to put it out there. Like it's 2 weeks in a row where there's just been some strange, like systemic things that he's done. And in both games, either from the start of the game or midway through the game, they've just kind of discombobulated Adelaide a little bit, and they've just allowed the other team to just like get a bit of confidence in the game. And I think. Perth, once Perth scored once and Adam Taggart scored once, and we can do a couple minutes on him because he's absolutely brilliant. But once they scored, I felt they almost like, listen, even though we went 2-1 down, we scored a goal. Like we know if we go forward, we can get at these guys, And I actually thought, you know, a lot of people with Perth online are kind of like, oh, Taggart's carrying and he's like, you know, carrying this whole team. So it's like that second goal was a great team goal, in my opinion, too. Like Taggart, yeah, he applied a great finish, but Risden, brilliant ball, good run by Caicedo, worked it out, worked it back in, and a great header. But just my last thing on this game with Kyle. So I asked him about that switch in after 30 minutes, and he goes, so he says, we weren't stretching their defensive line. Their back four virtually played the width of the six-yard box, so we needed to get some players wider and higher. He said some other things, and then he went to get one or two players out in those wide areas so we could get some delivery into the box. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't keeping Dylan Piraeus in his right wing-back role wide and high, and also like he was a threat in the first 30 minutes, actually allow for all those things that Carl Veer just said? Like, that's kind of where I just hear that and I just go, it's just bizarre.
You don't have Ibasuki anymore, like, you know, in your box. You have, you know, a Luka Jovanovic. You have some smaller players that probably, like I feel like that's not the most optimal way to play, especially against Lachlan Barr and Kanga, who are very big physical centre-backs. So that's a little strange too. And I think another thing I wanted to highlight is Austin Ayoubi, like, you know, was playing exceptionally well. Unused substitute in this game. That was baffling, especially as no shade to Panache Madania at all. I think he's a good player, but, you know, to bring him in over a UB sort of as you're chasing the game, that's baffling.
Well, I don't think we're going to see Panache Madania next week after Carl Veer's comment after the game. That was pretty funny. So that was, again, another question by me. And he goes, so it seemed like Panache, so Adelaide are playing with those two 10s in the 3-4-3 system that they're playing. And it seems like Panache was playing as a right-sided 10. So, you know, like, what the hell? Like, Panache has been a wide player, like, throughout his whole career. So it's kind of like, what's he doing playing there? And anyway, and Carl goes, my messaging must have got mixed up. Like, I wanted him to play wide and high. And that was a very rare, sarcastic Viet comment. That's a collector's
item. But even then, it makes no sense. It's like, you already have Piraeus out there, who's a wide right player.
Yeah.
That space. That's the exact same as Madania. Why would you have both of them on instead of an AUB? Yeah. Who's very... baffling.
I think actually on AUB, did he?
No, he didn't come on at all.
No, he didn't come on at all. But I meant, no, that's right. I was going to say when, and this has been our last thing on Adelaide because we'll do like a minute or so on Perth. But I asked him about, why Austin didn't play today.
Yeah.
And he talked about, so it seems pretty clear that like long term, they want Fellaini starting over Austin. Like, okay, I get that. He's a new signing from what I understand, you know, from what has been reported, they're probably paying a pretty decent wage and a much bigger wage to Fellaini than they are for Austin Ayoubi. He's come from the local league. But, like, I don't think they're significantly different in terms of quality of player. And also, like, based on what I've seen. And Fellaini, I asked him and he kind of went like, yeah, well, basically he could run out the 90 minutes and he was confident doing that, so we just didn't feel the need to change it. Now, Fellaini was good, but I think he's still... struggled. Like, when he got into the box, there wasn't that end product. Everything up to that point was good. There was some good build up, some good combinations with Stefan Mork as well. But like, Austin Ayoubi has been providing end product for Adelaide United too. It's not just, so it's kind of like, it's 2-2. There's 20 minutes left. Fellaini doesn't have it in the box. So, like, maybe just put on Austin instead. So, yeah, I don't know. That was a little bit strange for me. Okay. Adam Taggart, Perth. Good result.
Yeah.
Definitely got to take the point. But honestly, like, I kind of came away from that thinking, like, shit, they could have stolen that and won 3-2, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at balance of chances, they could have. Like, realistically, I think Adelaide probably were, quote unquote, more deserving in terms of the overall how much they did. But yeah, I think very easily Perth could have snuck away of that game. Even Taggart, for example, I think missed a few chances maybe he could have converted. So I guess there's some. It probably was the most positive game I've seen so far from Perth. Obviously, they had the draw with Central Coast too. That was solid enough. But yeah, you know, I saw some good signs from this one. One thing that I was a bit iffy on was the sort of the whole thing with Christian Caicedo.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah,
that was interesting. Obviously, brought him on for Kwan Yo around the hour mark. Takes him off in the last couple minutes for Carlucho, which, look, I know the reasoning was, you know, defensively, obviously Carlucho is a more natural sort of hardworking player on that sort of, you know, on the wing. But I don't know. I feel like with a young sort of visa player who's coming in, probably firstly expecting to start, so he's probably not even happy he's coming off the bench. But then to take him back off for Carlucho is great and all, but it's like, surely Kai's, it's like, I feel like if you're trying to manage relationships in a team that's already having a lot of issues, maybe, some players are select, what's going on here? I just don't think it's a smart choice at this point. I think like, I think like, let's say, we see Kiz Norbo, for example, make really bold calls and, it might have some controversial, but he's proven. Like, people know PK is someone you can
Well, he's
trust.
winning. He's winning. That's
He's
he's winning.
winning. He's winning. With Drillish right now, it's like, you can't win a game and you're making these bold calls that are gonna disrupt the change
But
you're
isn't
in. Like,
that listen, the only thing I'd say is that bolt, like there was 2 minutes left. That was the other thing
no,
too.
but no,
Like
but no, no, I know. Like, but I mean, as in, I feel like, let's say it's Carlucho is in his spot. I feel like Carlucho would be more understanding. He's more of a role player that kind of knows his role, his strengths, and he's going to come
Okay.
up with
But
it.
the only thing I'd say is, as a rebuttal, is if you're Davis Village, you're trying to build a culture at Perth Glory, you're trying to build, an environment that's going to eventually lead to winning. It's a long-term project. So those types of things, you want the players to be on board with that early. You want to lay down that sort of marker, I guess. But listen, the other thing too is Davis Village could look at it and be like, listen, if Christian Caicedo, wants to be a part of this team and he wants to contribute to team success, then he needs to understand that. In that moment, when we're on the road against Adelaide away, looking for only our second point of the season, you just got to deal with that with 2 minutes left. But listen, I can understand that. I can understand that. The
I
only
don't
thing
think
I
it's
would
a
say, though,
bold call,
too,
but yeah.
the only thing I'd say, too, is like you talk about like the player relationships and stuff. Like, from all accounts, the player relationships between like the players and Zrilic still seem pretty fine. Like, I don't think we obviously, Matt Olsen did a some quotes from Carlucho before the season started in his preview of Perth season, which was really like, very positive. Like Josh Risden, I've seen some interviews, very positive. Like it doesn't seem like there's any sort of, issues there with Zrilic and the players.
I'm thinking more Caicedo and maybe,
Maybe
for example,
individually,
and
yeah.
Kanga, like sort of some of those boys there, the South American boys, let's say, who might, I don't know, like it's something simply just to watch out on. It's
Yeah.
simply speculation, but the way that, for example, Caicedo stormed off the pitch and apparently broke some stuff in the, it didn't sound good. So we just have to sort of see, but I don't know. I
I
think
mean,
it's interesting call.
it's also like the classic South American thing when you get hooked, right? Like,
No, of course. Like it's good. That passion's good too. And obviously, you hope that it's sort of a thing where they can work it out and he'll understand, of course. And I'm sure they can, but I don't know. I think it was a very bold call to make in that situation, but maybe that'll be something that defines him. But yeah, overall, it was a good result, altogether for Perth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Auckland, Newcastle. Auckland. 2-0 win. I got this
Auckland.
prediction absolutely spot on, which was great, even though Auckland took 84 minutes to score. But another clean sheet, best ever start by a new team in the A-League. What was the Andy Howe stat? Like, it's like the longest streak for a new club entering like either the NSL or A-League without conceding, I believe. Now they've
I think
passed
it was
that.
Western Sydney.
So, yeah. I mean, phew. What a start. Like, what are you thinking with Auckland? I mean, can they, like, when's actually going to come the time with these guys where they actually are going to concede and go behind in a game? Because, that's the other thing. They could have gone behind here really early. Ben Gibson had a big chance at the start. But, they've got your boy Alex Paulsen in goals and
Looking good.
he ain't conceding. So, yeah, Auckland, another great result.
I honestly thought this might have been the game where it happened. I just had that feeling sort of late on. Auckland just didn't necessarily look great, weren't playing awfully well. And Newcastle, I feel like, are a team that can cause issues to, like unsuspectingly. I remember last season against Wellington, they were having a really, really good run, and all of a sudden Newcastle surprised them. So that was, I was thinking maybe this is going to be happening again, but man, Auckland, they just have that dog in them. We don't have Jack on, who would love that, but they just like, I think it's a mark of a good team if you can just find a way. Like, you might not be playing your best football, you're struggling, to really create, and you just get, pretty lucky, because I think for Moreno's volley, it looked like he completely shanked it. Like, I don't think he meant that. I really don't think he meant that. It looked
I don't
shanked. Like, if he meant that is class,
know.
but
I reckon there's a possibility you meant that.
maybe, but as in, but it's still, it's like, like edge of the box volley just, happens to go in, and obviously have the DeVries goal a little bit later. But yeah, I just, yeah, even the DeVries goal, it was like, it just went through like four pairs of legs. It's like, if things just happen to keep falling your way, then, you know, you say, okay, is it a coincidence anymore? Or are they just, you know, they always do this, but I don't know. I do just want to see them a little bit more. I want to see them tested, for example, away against Victory or, you know, against Sydney, you know, sort of away, you know, against a side with a big fan base. And how can they go there? Can they sort of keep fighting through those games? But wow, yeah, like full credit to them at the moment. But I want to see a little bit more before I'm saying, you know, championship contenders or anything like that.
They looked better on the ball in this game. I thought that was a better performance, sort of like actually in possession. I think, excuse me. I think they actually got into the final third a lot more in that game than in terms of like there was actually like long periods of that game where they had the ball and were actually shifting it from side to side and actually trying to break down Newcastle. I think a lot of their games so far have been quite transitional, so that was better. Man, Liam Gillian, I think is great. You mentioned him in your article recently. I think he's great, right? That kid, he needs to develop end product. Like it, because that it, he's great. But if he can develop end product, that's going to take Auckland like from there to there. Like it's a massive thing with him. Fastrata is fucking ridiculous. Like so, I saw actually this was something. I saw Philip Rollo, the Kiwi-based journalist who covers Wellington and Auckland for stuff. He tweeted that Fastrata might be fine to the season, but I thought that was a little bit disrespectful to like Senna and Wahim and Klamala, for example, at Sydney. But Fastrata might have a case by the end of the season. He has been unbelievable. And actually, in this game, like the opening games, we've seen him be really combative, like defensively, he's so solid. But in this game, he actually showed off some of his passing range and stuff as well, which was kind of like, shit, he's actually got that in his locker too. So, and the only other thing I mentioned is I thought Pienaar was unbelievable in this game too, defensively. Francis Brexit de Vries continues to be really, really good defensively for Auckland. And then they've got the, they've got the Tommy Smith. Park the bus sub that they're using every game too.
Every single time they score, he's on. He's just ridiculous.
But what's like any other individuals I didn't mention there that are really impressing you for Auckland?
Yeah, well, I think, well, you've sort of met like a couple there, but even Dan Hall as a part of that back four there as well. Like he's gone strength from strength, you know, obviously a part of a, you know, unbelievably good Mariners side. And maybe he's sort of develop that sort of winning mentality to bring to the side. I don't know, because they just look so good together. It's ridiculous. Even like, for example, he deserves a shout out to Callan Elliott stepping into the back line for this one ahead of Sakai did really well. You know, like you
Yeah, I think
think maybe
Sakai
then.
injury.
So
Yeah.
I don't think it was serious. I think it was relatively
Yeah. He
small,
was
which is good.
named in the squad during the week, so he must have pulled up with something. Yeah.
Surely. Well, yeah, at least you hope, you know, for their sake, because obviously he's a massive player. But to be fair, Elliott stepped in. But I think that's also, you know, the signs of a good sort of team culture where, you know, someone can step in, hasn't played at all this season, played the full 90, looked excellent. So yeah, man, Auckland are gonna be, they're gonna be good at the very least. Don't, again, I just want to see a little bit more before, you know, we go crazy on them. But yeah, even like, you know, Jake Brimmer coming in there, like he's just good. You know, I don't know.
You lost me there.
No, I think Brimmel like hasn't been at his best yet, but I don't know. I can see him really like getting back to that good form again. I can see it. Like I've
Yeah,
kind of
no. He's
seen
like, he could get better. I mean, obviously, he scored the 2 goals against Wellington. For me, though, like, it was kind of anyone could have been in
Yes.
that situation and scored
Yeah.
both. But, man, the first half, I don't know what the fuck Jack Brimmer was doing in this game. Like, there was so many occasions. Like, obviously, we haven't mentioned it. The conditions were really bad. And that obviously made things harder. But the
Yeah.
amount of, like, miscontrols, poor passes, just like, bro, like, everything all right? Like, you ready to play sort of thing. So
Yeah.
I didn't think he was great. Howison has actually replaced him in a game before or a couple games so
Yes,
far as
I
well.
yeah.
So maybe Corrigan also still thinks that position's kind of up for grabs.
Yeah.
So if there's anywhere in their team which is a little bit of a weakness, it's that number 10 role, I think.
Well,
It
for
just
now, but I'm confident, especially with that competition. Like Howson's a class player too. I think they're going to keep pushing each other. They're going to keep improving. I don't know. I think they'll figure that out because for me, Jake Brimmer, if he's fit and firing, like he'll get back there. Like he's a good player. Like we all know. So yeah, but
Are
it's up.
you in like a camp where you think Rob Stanton is doing a terrible job here, or what's?
Nah. I had a yeah. I was talking to Caden with it because we were watching the game together. It was just
Yeah.
before the Melbourne City game, right? Yeah. And look, I think it was very similar. Like, it was reminding us a lot because we were just talking about him as well at the time. It was oh my God, I'm forgetting his name now. The Newcastle coach, simply he's gone and now to J League, coaching at J League now.
Alpha Pappas.
Arthur Pappas. That's right, of course. How could I like that? He's
Pappas Paul, box office chef.
man. How? But I think where it's look. The Newcastle may have the worst team in the league, right? And you know, it'd be very harsh to expect him to go away at Auckland. Like, I think to do what they did in this game, really push Auckland all the way till the end to some pretty, you know, sort of scabby goals here and there to get the win. I think that's admirable in itself. You know, I just don't think this team is there. If you looked at the signings they made, like I talked about in my article a little bit, but you know, if you had like the likes of Eli Adams, Ben Gibson, you know, those type of guys come in who are all really good young players, but it's like they're inexperienced, you know, like it's just unrealistic to expect them to be coming out of here and doing incredible things. So I think for the most part, obviously they've already grabbed the win this season too, which is I think very good, especially considering Perth and Brisbane haven't even done that yet. So you know, that deserves credit too. But I don't know. I think Newcastle, it'd be very unrealistic to expect them to, you know, be more than a team that might challenge for finals, but if you just look at simply their team and where they're at, I don't know. I think it'd be very harsh to go for Stanton. I think he's shown good signs, but it doesn't mean he's immune to criticism. Like, I think he's
Yeah.
still, you know, if he makes a bad call, you know, you have to be on him on that. But yeah, he's still a young coach. I think he's still going to keep growing with this young team. So yeah, I don't know. But I've been relatively happy with Stanton, but I'd be, you know, interested to hear otherwise. But yeah.
What would, and this is more if I'm Rob Stanton, what would concern me is that, like, okay, there's they've brought in like more, like the players they've brought in are actually young as well. So it's not even like they've really, like, outside of what Susnya, they haven't really brought in much experience, right?
Yeah. Well, if like what was that? Welly Sol, who?
Oh wow, yeah, he's been such
Exactly.
a great
Yeah, mate.
addition.
Yeah. It's just not enough. Like, yeah.
No, and but then that's where, you know, obviously I did the article on Fornaroli, which, you know, people listening, yeah, you might have come across it or something, but like that Gibson chance, okay, let's say it's Bruno, like it's 1-0. You know, and like that's those little things for Newcastle where it's like having young kid from the NPL in his first A-League season compared to proven A-League quality, that's the difference. And
Yeah.
but my thing is like, I wonder if Stanton's kind of sitting there and it's kind of like, all right, to be fair, club situation, this is their first year with new owners, so you got to understand that. But I do wonder if he's sitting there kind of thinking like, fucking hell, like another season of this, you know, where it's just kind of like maybe we're playing decent. You know, having good patches in games, but even that would worry. Like this game here, I don't think they had really any good patches. Like I think it was pretty one-way traffic in terms of control of the game. Like Newcastle last season, what I liked is I thought for a lot of games they actually had control. Like they actually were able to keep the ball for long periods. And this game is kind of a little bit, and I'm worried they're just going to be a little bit like, hey, Eli Adams, here's the ball, go and do something for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something to watch with them. He, by the way, was really good in this game, and like his confidence level is through the roof. You can see
He's
it.
him. He's him.
Yeah. So he's him.
He's him. Trust me.
So that's a positive, but yeah, it's a bit. It's not great. It's not great. Let's see what happened. I mean, they haven't played like Brisbane yet. They haven't played Perth. They haven't played Western. So like,
Yeah.
there's a few teams there that are a bit more close to their level, which would be interesting to see how it shapes up. Okay. What was next? Yeah, you were at this game. At this absolute, that was a f indictment on football, this game. Melbourne City and Western City. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The Wanderers getting a big win. Big win for Alan Stadic, 2-0. But man, scrappy does not even begin to describe what that game was. I think that game was like exclusively played between the boxes. That's what it felt like watching it, you
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. It was, yeah, like you had the, like, I think it was a couple minutes into the game, you had like this goal mouth scrap. Lawrence Thomas somehow managed to keep the ball out, and then we didn't see anything for, yeah, basically the whole half. And then, yeah, it sort of comes out, couple chances here and there. See, it was just, It was just very dead. And then, you know, you had, what was it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Milanovic obviously got that penalty, which I thought it was a bit debatable, to be honest. I think it was a bit iffy. It did look a bit like, you know, Talbot got the touch on the ball.
Whoa,
Milanovic
you're
was almost
defending
running.
Callum Talbot?
Yeah, no,
If
like
Caden, when Caden listens to
Payton
this, he's going
actually
to be
was like,
fuming.
fair enough. Like, he actually kind of, you know, touched the ball here. It's actually a bit harsh on him. So, you know, like, we'll actually give credit to Talbot in his case, but yeah, it gets ruled against him. And then the Wanderers are up because it was actually interesting. Post game, I asked about it like to both coaches because I was really interested. I didn't expect it where Western Sydney actually had more of the ball in the first half, and like you know, Vidmar pointed it out
Yeah, it
where
wasn't very effective possession, but they had the ball, yeah.
it was in their ball, but nonetheless, it was like, well, okay, yeah, they had more of the ball, you know, and oh yeah, it's not effective, but it's like why is your press not working? Like, how were they able to consistently keep and maintain the ball throughout you? And not let you have the ball because I think that's the way to play against Melbourne City. Just don't let them have the ball as much as they can. We saw that against Perth. I think that was the blueprint. Don't do that. Just don't park the bus against it. Like, it's not going to work. Like, just don't do what Perth
Don't do
did.
that.
And honestly, I think Stadler just basically tried that. I was like, all right, let's just try to keep the ball off them. They went long when they could, and yeah, it caused them issues. I think City, like as solid as they are, we saw Bajic and Talbot, especially the two fullbacks, really struggled with those sort of long balls. They're probably not the most physical players, and they had Kraev, Milanovic, you know, pretty strong wingers, you know, that could cause some issues. And we saw that Milanovic had an excellent game. He was, yeah, J Johnny Warren. Let's call him Johnny Warren at this point. Let's just call him it. But no,
Listen, listen,
he's
listen.
having a great
If
start.
you want to go back, what's like a podcast we did in like August or something, and I said like, I said after the Wanderers played Adelaide in the Australia Cup, I said Milanovic, Johnny Warren wouldn't shock me. He's a smoky under the
I'm
radar
pretty
dark
sure we all
horse.
called it. It was yeah, me, you, and Petter, I think in the preseason. That was
Oh
the
yeah, and Petter
predict. I
mentioned it
remember
too. Yeah,
that.
yeah. So yeah, but for me, for me, it's a penalty because I think yeah, he did get a touch on the ball, but. For me, I think Callum Talbot should be punished for the fact that he just didn't move his feet when he was defending. Like, I don't know what he's just kind of like, I'm just gonna like stick out my thigh and like hope for the best here. That's what it felt like. It
Fair,
was just
but
very lazy defending, I felt. But I
It
think,
was 50-50 call.
yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, the Wanderers, look, it wasn't great, but they've been under a lot of scrutiny the last sort of week before leading up to this game after the derby. There's another situation which I'm sure we'll touch on with Mata as well, which Stajic is getting a lot of heat for. And they needed the points, and they got the points. Also, Antonsson scored. He scored again, which
He's
is
great.
really good. He scored after. I'm going to get this up.
For Sydney,
I'm going to
it's
get
the
this
last week.
up because I wrote about this in the Fornaroli article because that was mentioned in a report recently on that the tackle that apparently. Victory, no, the Wanderers approached Victory about the possibility of swapping Antonsson and Fornaroli, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. It was a lot. I said it may have been a Hail Mary from the Wanderers, but why would Victory swap a proven goal scorer in this league for a player who has consistently proven unreliable in front of goal? And then the next day, Antonsson scores. So good, nah, good on him. It was a good finish. And who knows? I mean, if Antonsson is actually like, hey, he might just needed a bit more time to adapt down under, and now he's going to start hitting the net, then that gives, you know, Stajic another headache. The main headache he's got at the moment is this Mata thing. And like, I don't feel that should go away even with this win. So first of all, I thought he should have started. I don't really understand. Like, the Sydney Derby, when they went 3-1 down, he came on. First few minutes, he struggled a little bit. Then once he got on the ball, you could see the Wanderers did look different. Like they had much more control, and they really, like they could have easily scored another goal and made it 3-3 before Klamala won the game. But then, okay, you didn't start him in this game. Whatever, that's fine. Maybe still building up his fitness. You could always say that. But it was about the 60th minute. They were 1-0 up. 60th minute. Neither team really had control still, was still very scrappy. And I'm kind of watching, like, going, like, bring him on. Like, what are you, like, this is exactly an ideal scenario now. Like, if City aren't really posing much of a threat, get him on the ball, see if you can get some control of the game, and then make it 2-0. Now, in saying that, yeah, they did score a second goal and won the game 2-0. So in the end, it didn't really matter. But I feel like this is kind of getting into, it's a little bit like a snowball with Fornaroli too, where it's kind of like, now it's like, I'm not playing him because, now this is just a feeling, I'm not saying he's doing this, but is it kind of like, you know, fuck you, Fahid Ben Kalfala, like now I'm like just not going to play him, and like as like a message to you or something, like, I don't know. It's just, it's very weird. I don't, you know, it's a World Cup winner. Like let's not forget that, you know.
Yes, yeah. I think if like in this game, I personally was okay with him not starting for this one. I think it made more sense if you looked at their approach. They were ultimately going a bit longer, more counterattacking. Like I sort of said, they had Krajev and Milanovic really targeting their fullbacks, and I think that worked. So I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't necessarily mind him coming on when he did. I feel like if you looked at like, because they're already 1-0 up, City were, you know, controlling the ball sort of in their half. And yeah, obviously Mata would obviously help them get a bit more control, but I feel like it just in a way would go against their approach. But I think I'm especially looking forward to next week where they have Brisbane at home. And then, for example, got Wellington at home, who obviously a team they're probably going to sit back to. They're the two games where like, okay, Mata has to play. Like he has to. Like this low blocks.
Yeah.
Like this is perfect for Mata. No excuses there. I think these, against Sydney, you're playing more counter-attacking. I don't mind that, but we need to sit there. If he's not playing, then there's clearly an agenda or an issue or something going on there because, yeah, like that perfect game through.
But I don't think, the only thing I'd say is I think some people look at that in the prism of like, if you're playing a counter-attacking style or you're playing more defensively, like you shouldn't have a number 10 like Mata
in
the team.
Of course, yeah, of course.
But I don't think that's always the case. Like I think because, like let's look at the first half of that game. The Wanderers had like what, 56% of the ball in the first half. So like, but we know the Wanderers, like one thing they've done really well under Stajic is that they're a really good threat in transition, I feel. But imagine having like Scicluna and Mata being able to actually supply, and Scicluna's been great. And imagine having those two next to each other being able to actually supply that, those kind of balls in transition to a Milanovic. Like that's where I'm like, I don't think you can have Mata, like I don't even mind Stajic using him as like a six in this system. Like I know people go like he's a 10, but I'm just like, I don't mind it with the way they're trying to play being a bit more transitional, because when they play out, like particularly like you talk about like Sydney as an opponent and Sydney really high pressing. But if you play Mata as a six and you're getting him involved in build up to get out and maybe play through Sydney, play out of their press, like he's an ideal player for that. For example,
but then out of possession, it's like you're relying on him as a like it's just
yeah that's true. No, that's true.
Especially against a City side that you know thrive you know on sort of playing through that. I don't know. Like I personally think if Matt is going to be used, it should be as a 10. And we saw him like he came on for I think it was Cruyff, but basically he
and they changed
play
it.
Front two, he was a sole 10, and he looked great there. So I think he could work as a six, but against a team that's going to be pinned in, and you're just going to need that creativity, but. I don't know. I can definitely see both sides, but I think there's no excuses for the next couple of games where, the transition argument's going to largely be out. Like, no, they're going to be pinned in and they need to find a way to get through. And, you know, World Cup winner Juan Mata, one of the most creative players I've ever seen. He is unbelievable. Like, perfect game through. Let's play him.
I think you're underestimating the fact that Chiefy Ball might actually go to Western Sydney and just play them off the park and have 70% of the ball. Who knows?
There is zero way.
But you that start, is hey, this is a new Wellington. Anyway, I was gonna say, Nathaniel Atkinson, he played like as a left winger in this game, right?
Yeah, I actually specifically asked about that because
Did you ask Vidmar as well? Will we see him in goals next week?
He literally said that. I said, yeah, we played left back. Yeah, we're sort of what's next? He's like, yeah, am I putting him in goals next? Thanks, mate. But
but I guess the point where it's like, hey, no, I actually want clarification. Are you joking or are you being serious?
Honestly, at this point, especially with like the way they like to play out the back, who knows? Honestly, fair shout out Patrick Beach, has done well with that, but because obviously, it like you have to understand. They have a lot of their wingers missing. Lecky, Tilio, Naboo, they're very light in the wings areas. But yeah, again, you know, Atkinson playing on the left wing is just a bit funny. I didn't think he played well at all. I think he clearly doesn't look like that player. And I don't think it's like, it's unfair to expect him to be that. He's a right back, you know what I mean? He can cover elsewhere. But yeah, so it was interesting as he came on, you know, so Talbot got subbed off. He sort of moved into right back. So I do think Aurelio does think he's a right back. Which, you know, I don't think he's stupid, but yeah, it's just I think it probably will take a while for him to actually be used there because they just don't have anyone else really to play on the wings. Like they have Politidis.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, but like surely the only thing I'd say is like surely. Like obviously the injury situation is big and we have to move on, so I'm not going to get too much into that. And Melbourne City, I think in this game you saw like the lack of Lecky, the lack of Tilio, the lack of Naboo really hurt them in a game like this. But like I'm looking at it, so like Politidis, for example, okay, surely you could play like you got okay Mamedi central, Cohen on the right. Kuen's playing as a 10 with Yugarkovic. Surely, like, is it time for Callum Talbot to actually, like, go to the bench? Like, that's kind of my thing, you know?
The thing is with Politidis, he has had two starts, and I think he's done okay in them, but he's not grabbed the position. So I didn't mind him maybe giving him a time off, and I thought he looked all right off the bench. So, yeah, I think next game it'd be nice to see Politidis start there, Atkinson back at right back, but... Yeah, Aurelio's hands are probably a little bit tight at the moment. Doesn't have a lot, you know, to play with there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely something interesting though, because it's not great seeing Atkinson, you know, be used on the left wing. You know, just a bit like what is a polar bear doing in Arkansas type areas there? You know what I mean?
Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, Texas. That's what I'm talking about.
That's my new Adelaide United undefeated meme. anyway, all right, let's move on. MacArthur, Brisbane, drunkest game of the round for all. Okay, this is like the A League. I'm gonna start doing like I should do a prediction every week of which game I think is gonna be drunk. Like, what's gonna be the drunk game of the round? So MacArthur decided in the first half an hour that they wouldn't defend, and Thomas Waddingham said, "Thank you very much. I will take advantage of that. Two good goals." I think. We'll probably mention Tommy Uzcox defending. We're talking about it off air before the pod started. But my God, that was disgusting in the first half. I don't know what he was doing. But Brisbane are 2-0 up. Things are going great. Oh, shit. Like, you know, hey, Brisbane might actually be better than what their record suggests. They might actually win this game 3-1 or something. And then Brisbane actually showed us after that exactly why they are where they are. because, yeah, they... I didn't... You know, they conceded the goal to Keely Adamson, and it was a little bit of an opportunistic goal. Like, it kind of, he just volleyed it and it kind of went in, and I think it was Berkey Roy. Like, it was just kind of an accident where he's tried to block it because maybe he thinks it was going in. The ball was actually going wide, and then he deflected it in. So, that's a tough one. So, whatever. But it was almost like summed it up in terms of, wow, like, Brisbane had a really great half. They're 2-0 up. Like, everyone kind of seemed like they knew what they were doing. Their roles were, they were executing everything really well. And then it was just like, bang, you're going to concede a goal like that and give MacArthur life for like no reason whatsoever, you know? And that's just kind of where it is at the moment for them. And then MacArthur, to their credit, second half started and straight away they go on the front foot, took advantage, 2-0, another 2-2, sorry. Another sort of fortuitous goal where it just kind of is flicked onto the back post and Uzcock, somehow gets a goal, which is disgusting. First half defending didn't deserve, and then after that you get just Jed Drew just went bonkers, set up two goals. That Danny De Silva goal, oh,
beautiful, yeah,
beautiful, beautiful goal, absolutely beautiful. Jake Holman with a little turn in the lead up. Don't know what Jake Holman was doing on the bench, but okay. In the end, Brisbane get a couple of own goals and they get a point. What was your read on this game?
Yeah, obviously this was slightly off. I didn't fully see the game, but I think it was just pure chaos ball. You know, it was very funny as
pure A-Liga.
It's pure, like, it's like, it's just, we just see the most unexpected things. Like all season we're saying, yeah, MacArthur are going to be a very solid side. They're not going to be, you know, playing this exciting transitional football. They're just going to sit back and hit in the counter. And then we just see whatever the hell that defending was. Like, it just went completely against their sort of defensive principles. Defend as a team, be a strong unit.
But I mentioned this before when we were talking. Like, they sit back, but I actually don't think they're good defensively. Like, they try and sit back, but they're not actually, like, they kind of wilt under pressure quite a bit, I feel.
Yeah, because it's like, Uzcock, look, I think he's solid, and I think in the team is solid, but like, as an individual player, he's just not great. And I feel like they can be exposed at times. You know what I mean? Their defense isn't amazing. Like Ivan Ruita, for example, solid player, but for me, just not great. And he can be exposed at times. You know, it's not, you know, a extremely good defense that has a great sort of unit, really good structure, and individually they're all great. I just think it's a bit, it can be exposed at times. And we saw that, you know.
Yeah. Also, I think I gotta listen. I dish out criticism of certain players, so I gotta give them some praise when they do well. Ben Halloran, good sub appearance, well done.
Yeah.
Was rightfully dropped though. Should mention that. I think Ruben was listening to the pod recently, and he probably thought, yeah, look, Halloran. After what Christian said about him a couple of weeks ago, probably got to drop him. So yeah, good on him for dropping him. But then good reaction
Yeah.
by Ben Halloran. No, honestly, Brisbane actually, the two own goals were actually quite similar moves, the
Yeah.
way they created them. And they actually did quite well of playing from kind of one pocket to the other. Then the fullback would overlap, the wingers inside. Like in possession, they're actually not that bad at all. They just. At the end of the day, like it's just a mediocre squad, isn't it? And you're always like on
Yeah.
edge watching. It's like, okay, is Ben Warland like about to like miss kick a clearance and it's gonna like go to like, you know, Ari Afpiol and he's gonna be on like, but that's what it's like, you know, with them.
Yeah.
And like Zakovic, that was the other thing. He rang the changes big time in this game too. We saw Zabala in midfield. We saw Struyck and Waddingham. I don't know why I keep almost saying Waddingham. It's
Yeah.
Waddingham. Waddingham, Christian.
No,
Okay.
you do that for the Falami. You call him Falami. Like, it's Falami, mate.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
You're just like doing
Sorry,
random words.
Ben. Sorry, Benny.
Benny Ben.
Yeah, like Struyck was playing off the left though.
Yeah,
Um,
yeah.
which is interesting, I guess. And like I wondered if he could have played like with this team, can he play like a box midfield? So you could play Jelicic and Berenguer's two tens. Stroik and Wadding, far out, Waddingham in a strike partnership, and
Yeah.
then maybe have, you know, either Zabala and O'Shea as like two sixes, or, you know, if you wanted to play Joe Coletti, although I think a lot of Brisbane fans don't want Joe Coletti to start. So, like, there's some options there. That's got Neville back in the middle of defense, which I think actually. Yeah, seemed maybe like he kind of improved things a little bit. I mean, at the end of the day, they conceded four
Yeah.
goals, so it's kind of
Yeah,
hard to
and
look
then like
for.
yeah, like what was is it 35 fresh off an ACL? Like yeah, it's a big ask to come
Yeah,
straight into
that's right.
a fire like a shit show, you know. So you did it right, but yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, like, oh yeah, did you keep an eye on young Jacob Brissetta? Because
Yeah, he's a
he
gun.
was really exciting, I thought,
Yeah.
off the bench in this game.
Yeah. Like yeah, because like firstly, very good dribbler. Like that's the main thing with him. Like his end product from what I've seen, it's a little bit shaky. Like that's a part that needs to be developed. I know in NPL, like didn't grab a ton of goals of assists, but like pure just taking on a player, his yeah, power, speed, and just simple, just close control, very, very impressive. So there is an absolute player there. Yeah, I think he's gonna be really good impact sort of sub for the team. And I think he adds a lot to them because they don't really have that otherwise. So yeah, he looks yeah, special. He looks really, really good.
Tell you, man, Sydney NPL players,
Unfair. Just so good. Ridiculous.
just poach them while you can. I mean, I already touched on this, but like if Jed Drew and Jake Holman aren't both starting for MacArthur next week, then like Milosejovic, I've got some serious questions. Just gonna put it there. Listen, Ariath, no, so Piol, like Piol obviously got his goal against Sydney, you know, the Puskas contender. Actually, but didn't get nominated, did it?
Yeah,
Or
oh,
oh no, because
yeah, no,
it's not
it'll be
in.
next year.
It'll be next year, right?
Yeah.
And like against Auckland, he was a real big threat and he should have probably scored in that game too. But I think with the way their team is right now, like you can't, Holman and Drew have to play. Like they need to keep playing with where they're at the moment, you know? And Ariath, I think, still, if you're like in every, like basically every game in the 60th minute, he's going to come on. I think that kind of works as well. So,
Yeah. Definitely.
interesting. And the other thing that was interesting too is I just felt Brisbane kind of said, we're going to actually sit off. And like, we know with MacArthur, like their kind of kryptonite is, hey, you have the ball and you actually try and break us down. And they don't really, it's
Yeah.
not that they don't know how to do it, but they, you know, like against Auckland last week, In the second half, they were really slow. Auckland were just kind of parking the bus and they didn't really create much. So when you make a MacArthur force the issue, it just kind of frazzles them a little bit, I feel. And yeah, I think Brisbane did a good job of that. And then yeah, once MacArthur actually got a couple of goals, then it was just basically a free for all after that.
Well,
Yeah.
I just see here for the first half, like 27% possession only for Brisbane, but five big chances created to zero for MacArthur. But then you look at the second
Like
half.
they actually MacArthur. Like that's
Exactly.
yeah.
And it worked perfectly. Like, and to be fair, I think that was a very like strategic like thing from Zads, because we've seen the other way around against
Sorry, did you just call him Zads?
is Zads? Zagovich?
Oh, what are you like? You like tie with
I'm
him or
his best
something?
mate. I'm his best mate, mate. He came around, shook everyone's hand at
He did that at United round press conference too. It's to be too honest, it's unsettling. But anyway, yeah.
or surprised me, but you know, fair play to him. But against Victory, like at that game I'm talking about, that he did the exact opposite, where he tried to control more possession. So I think he realized. So I do think there's a coach there. Like for me, that was a good switch. However, the squad and I don't know. It's not. I don't know. I think there could be something cooking slightly. It might be ramen noodles rather than like a five star. I can't even.
Ramen noodles.
It could be just some ramen noodles. It could be, nonetheless, that is something that has been cooked, so we have to see. But yeah, I don't know. I think look, they'll take the point. I think you have to take the point there.
Yeah.
It's a first point for them this season, but yeah, there's a lot to work on though. A lot to work on.
Yeah. Final thing I didn't mention about my favorite defender, Tommy Uscock, the equalizer, the own goal that he scored. If he actually just left that ball, I think Curto would have just claimed it. I don't know
Yeah,
why,
easily.
you know, he's just like, what are you doing? Just a very, very poor
Brain
performance
fart.
by him. Yeah, very
All
poor
sorts of points if
performance.
you don't do that. But Tommy Uscock. Tommy
Tommy
Uscock.
Uscock, that's him. Anyway,
That's him.
4-4, crazy. All right, final game of the round was yesterday, and it was the. The fake Melbourne derby, Western United and Melbourne Victory. Melbourne Victory, 3-1 winners. So bouncing back after the loss to Wellington. Honestly, this game was 1-1 for quite a bit, but really for me, this game was not really a contest throughout. A Victory for me were totally dominant, and I thought in the first half, yeah, that was particularly the first 15 minutes of this game. That was some of the best 15 minutes I've seen from any A-League team this season. Victory were absolutely superb. And Arzani and Mashash, brilliant. Daniel Arzani, brilliant. Like, he was superb in this game. And I know a lot of people were getting mad about Piscopo being on the bench, but man, it's difficult. Like, there, because Volupe, so like, Volupe's out, and I think Kisnorbo's identified that Santos is a good replacement in terms of profile for Volupele. That's why he's starting. Like, I don't think you can really ask Piscopo or Arzani to play in that Volupele role, because that means they're holding width as opposed to being inside as like that creative sort of number 10, essentially. So at the moment, it's like basically only two of Arzani, Mashash, and Piscopo can start if you look at their system. And at the moment, Piscopo is just kind of missing out. Like, I floated the idea of, you know, would you play like Mashash as a false nine or like something crazy like that to fit them all in? But then obviously there's another sort of argument with the strikers going on. And that's only intensified by Bruno Fortaroli scoring in this game, who for me should definitely be regularly involved in Melbourne Victory's team. Even if that is as 30 minutes off the bench every week, like that's fine, but he definitely should be playing a part. Like, I'm sorry, this is a guy. You know, 37 or not, you don't lose your ability to finish, you know? So, and like, that was actually the thing watching this game was Victor are dominating. And again, it was like Victor are dominating, but once again, they're not taking their chances. And oh my God, like, they could actually lose this game 2-1 if they keep missing. And then you're like watching it like, hey, if only Patrick Kisnorbo had a clinical finisher on the bench that he could bring on. But then he didn't kind of screw around. He actually brought him on with 30 minutes to go, and then obviously Virgos had scored by that point, and they went on to win 3-1. But Victory, a good performance, Jack.
It was I think it was an interesting game for them. I think I really like the point you made on Santos, and I think he deserves a lot of praise, like as a change there. going forward, not the most polished player I've ever seen. But for example, he always was playing as like a right wing back at times. If you look at sort of his heat map, like he's basically him and Casey Boss. Yeah, we're getting the up and down. And I think it just sort of goes to the way that Kiznaugo is playing. Obviously, yeah, people are upset that why is Santos starting over Renato Piscopo for yada yada yada. But it's like it's PK has a system and he is working that system and consistently playing it, playing through it. They might drop points here and there. Obviously, we saw last week against Wellington they lost, had draws here and there. But it's I don't know. I think it's like you said, they were playing some excellent football. Like it is some great football there. And I think if they keep working on that, keep hammering it in. I don't know. I think it's a clearly a good side there. Like I said, I'm still backing them as the Premiership favourites because I don't know. I don't see any other team doing what they're doing at the moment. So there's a lot of promise there. And
Wow,
yeah,
Sydney FC drive by. Wow.
I'm not sold them. I'm just not, and I'm still very proud of myself for I stood my ground in that preseason thing. You and people are like, oh, they're easily the best. I'm like, watch their defense. Watch their
Listen,
defense. Very thin, and
did you watch their game against Easton in the Champions League
well,
too?
it looks beautiful, but yeah, like
I know it's
the Easton might
Easton,
be
but like
farmed. I don't
they're.
know.
I'm sorry, I reckon. Listen, we're not talking about Sydney right now, but just quickly, like I reckon they're like slowly kind of finding their groove, and they'll
No.
kind of. Come
Yes,
into
they are, but no, not quite. But yeah, I don't know. I thought Victory good. I think Western. I don't know. Look, it just wasn't the best performance from them. Obviously, we saw sort of post game. Aloisi just say like, look, like what do I change about it? It just wasn't a good game. Like, it just wasn't a good game. You get a bit.
Well, Jake, what changes do you want him to make? Seriously. Like, what
has a
changes do you
point. To
want
be
Jhon
fair.
Eliassi to make?
He does have
All
a
right.
point. Like that, they don't have the most blessed squad of all time, and I think he's working fairly well with them. And yeah, Bodic obviously grabbed a goal, so like there's some positives to take from there. But yeah, I don't know. I just think Victory are a better side. They're always going to be the favourites for this one here. It is basically the home game as well, anyways. It's ridiculous they don't let West United play obviously out in Tarnead. I honestly think it could have been a completely different game, to be honest.
Yeah.
If that they had that, and hopefully that can be changed because.
I've seen some comments about that. I believe that's a Vic poll
No,
thing. If, yeah, yeah.
it's a yeah that they think that there'll be riots going on. I haven't seen anything from the Western United
It's ridiculous, man. Like
active player base,
what
but
they had what 3,000 there yesterday, I think, right?
yeah,
Imagine that 3,000 at Ironbark. Like
no,
and
firstly it
Victory
would
fans
sell
would
out.
100% travel there. 100%.
I'm very confident it would sell out because
Yeah.
Victory supporters
Yeah.
live everywhere
Yeah,
across the
yeah,
state. So
yeah.
Victory would at least make up half. Western United, I'm sure, would make up half. Sell out crowd. It would be. Great atmosphere, great football. I think it
Yeah.
would have been unbelievable. But look, we just have to hope that that gets changed. Hope that they can play that maybe late in the season. Because yeah, I think this sort of game has a lot of potential. I really do believe so. Because like I said, Victory fans are everywhere. Like it's I don't know. I think it could have a lot of potential. But yeah, good performance of Victory. Very calm little 3-1 dub. I think I'll be. A theme for them, this season. They'll just get some of those calm victories. Now, that's just the way they play. It was very similar to the Brisbane, like 2-0 there. Just a calm
Man,
little
you
dub.
are
Just a little dub.
you're like borderline ready to crown Kuznorbo as like the next Ange. Like you're like you
But
love that guy.
it's I just like because in the A-League, it's rare you see teams just get calm victories.
No, well, yeah, I actually think we're gonna find out. Like people are gonna start to realize over the course of the season that Kuznorbo is like an elite A-League coach. So like he's like I'm talking like when we talk about like I don't know Popovich, Graham Arnold, like the like he's
He's there.
yeah he's there. Like I
Well, like
think.
as in, I do think let's give him the season before I
That's
fully like,
fair.
yep, he's there.
That's fair.
But
But
I think he's there. I do think he's there, and I think he's
yeah,
brilliant.
remember
But
like
let's see.
the debate at City was always like, oh, like you know he's got the players. It's a really talented team,
Yeah.
you know. And then oh, he went to Troyes and look what happened. Which, by the way, like I think is more of
Little
a,
unfair on him. Yeah.
I think is more of like a Troyes were fucked as a club as opposed to
Yeah.
maybe what PK did. But I think yeah, I think you look at. The intensity that Victory play with, like that was the other thing about Arzani, which impressed me, was not just on the ball but off the ball.
Oh,
Arzani is working as hard as he's ever worked. He knows, like, if I want to keep Piscopo out of the lineup, I have to counter press. I have to work hard off the ball. Otherwise, forget about it. So there's that. And yeah, so probably the only Jing Rhys has not looked great so far when he's come off the bench. I know he's kind of coming in, and also like he kind of was playing on the right. When he came on yesterday too, which probably isn't ideal. So That's probably one there. I know a lot of Victory fans have kind of been like, why did we sign this guy? Teagan Valadon, also known as Kante and Matic 2017. That's my new comp for those two. Absolutely brilliant again. And yeah, the Aloisi thing. Yeah, just a couple minutes on that. Now, I think it was interesting because if you know John Aloisi, if you've been in a press conference with John Aloisi before, it's very rare that he does that. Yeah. Maybe earlier on in his coaching career, but definitely not since he's been at Western United.
Yeah.
And he's played this sort of facade, not facade, but he very much plays it as like every week of, if they don't get a result, it's always, we did well, we played well, but we're young and we're growing and, you know, you have to kind of give us the benefit of the doubt because of that. And I think a lot of people just don't really pay attention because they go, well, yeah, like they don't have the squad, so fair enough. Whereas then this time, he was kind of, you know, maybe he was being pressed, I'm not sure. I actually haven't watched it in full, but I think he wasn't happy with the effort, clearly, from the players. And I think you've mentioned this before. I know it might have been someone else from FF, but I think Western, for the most part this season, have actually been pretty decent in most games, and they've actually competed pretty well. So I think that was him being more frustrated at, like, this is a big game, we're playing Victory, like, why on earth didn't we show up from an effort standpoint? But also, I would say, like, yeah, but that's also the squad that you got where you're going to have a week where it's just, like,
it's just not there.
And also, Victory are just much better. Like, they just got a much better team. There's also that too, you know? But then it was weird that he let the frustration actually come out like that, you know, because he is usually quite calm. But I don't think it's something where, you know, like usually when a coach does that, people go, oh, like, you know, he's under pressure or he's going to get sacked or resign or something. Like, I don't think it was anything.
No, I highly doubt it. And yeah, I think it's an interesting point you made too, where I think it was very similar with the West United Melbourne City game. It was like very similar circumstances too, where I think it was another game where, yeah, they just didn't turn up that game. But I think all the others they have so far, even though, for example, against Adelaide, obviously they lost, but
they probably should have won that game.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was very unlucky.
Well, I thought Adelaide were the better team, but like, for example, based on obviously the VAR decision. So
that, and then you obviously had I think it was very underrated how they got a point away against Wellington, especially now we're seeing how well Wellington are. Like, that was a good point.
And actually, they finished really well in that game too.
100%. Like, I think they easily could have won that game too, you know? And yeah, and even against Western Sydney, you know? Like, I don't know. I think there's Aloisi's building a good side there, a side that's going to keep growing. But yeah, they probably will just have games against better teams where they'll just lose. That's just the reality. But yeah, I think I'm standing sort of by my prediction preseason where they might, maybe will challenge for finals, probably not, but yeah, but they'll be a good side, and they're, you know, I'm sure they'll have a couple players. You know, obviously we didn't see him today, but Dylan Leonard, even Kane Vidmar's been playing well. Shamoon played well.
How about that? Well, a great day for the Dylan Leonard truthers and believers, because Dylan Leonard came out and Western looked like a disaster defensively immediately.
He, as soon as he's back in, yeah, I think he has to play. Like, he's.
Do you think? That was one thing I wanted to mention to you. Do you think Hewitt Bell should come in for Sutton?
Yeah, I'm not sold on Matt Sutton.
Yeah.
I've never really been a true believer in him. I don't think he's terrible, but I just think Hewitt Bell's better. I don't really see what Sutton can do better than Hewitt Bell. I think maybe on the ball, I don't know, but he hasn't necessarily like blown me away there either, Sutton. So yeah, for me, I'd play Hewitt Bell. I guess Sutton's a little bit younger. Maybe that's sort of why they're going for that. Maybe they see some growth there, but I don't know. I guess Sutton's not been disastrous so far, so... You know, you sort of keep him in playing there. But yeah, I'd personally go Hewitt Bell, but that's just me. And also, note again, no Jake Nijolski as well.
That's funny you should mention that, because today I was like, oh, Jake's on the pod tonight. Oh, I better mention that Jake Nijolski didn't feature for Western United on the weekend.
I noticed it. Trust me.
You got like...
Is it true? Finally turned a corner after last week, came on for Noel Bodich. I'm like, all right, finally, we're starting to see him, you know, coming in, getting some minutes, because trust me, there's a player there. There really is. But
again, you are hitching your wagon to Jake Nijolski so much that if he turns out to be like a nothing player, like you're going to open yourself up to so many jokes and like abuse. It's going to be hilarious.
I'm honestly betting for that. I'm doing it. But like, sure, it's like Ibasuki, for example. He's played, I think, almost all minutes this season, you know, and he's a player that gets tired. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like he's getting a bit older now too. It's like, just bring him on. Like, just Like you're 3-1 down. Just try something new. I just don't get it. Like, what's the? I don't know. I do this every single week because I don't know. Oh well.
I say, I don't know what's gonna happen if Jake Najowski scores an A-League goal. Well, you'd assume he will at some point.
You
But
have
yeah,
to, surely.
it's gonna be, I don't know what you're gonna do. It's gonna be like insane.
I
Anyway.
will. I will tell. Say, I told you so to everyone on planet Earth, I
Yeah,
think.
that's your I told you so. The Australian football I told you so is like the John Aloisi penalty, but your I told you so is Jake Najowski
Exactly.
being a top A-League striker.
Exactly.
Anyway, all right. We will monitor the situation this week. Who have they got? MacArthur, is it?
MacArthur. MacArthur at home.
Yeah. Okay. MacArthur at home.
That'll be a game for him.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Okay. Let's see if Jake Najowski plays. Otherwise, Jake
Please,
will
Paul.
be really, really, really upset.
I
Okay,
might actually.
let's take a break, and that'll conclude the round review. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of chat about the Matildas, and we'll finish with some predictions for round seven. Okay, so we'll do 10 minutes on the Matildas. Their two games against Brazil. We're not. I'm sorry. We're not Cody Ajayi. We're not Matt Olson. You're gonna have to deal with me and Jake doing some women's football analysis. So I'm hoping people can cope with that. Yeah, I'm just not on Cody
Try our
Ajayi's
best.
level. Just not on Cody Ajayi's level when it comes to that. But like I said, they'll probably talk about it on the next episode of Front Page Dub. So yeah, so. Brazil won both games. That we've still got two games coming up against Chinese Taipei and Melbourne. What you mentioned to me that you kind of saw more of the first game. I saw quite a bit of the second game last night, in particular. So what was your sort of takeaways? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Thoughts, queries, concerns?
Well, I think the sort of first major concern is like what on earth is going on for the first, I don't know, like 30 odd minutes with the Matildas at the moment. Because yes, in the first game, just brain farts, like defensively, just ridiculous. I think it's interesting as obviously Mackenzie Arnold, legend of the team, excellent player, obviously, but you know, she hasn't been playing very consistently at the moment. And maybe you're seeing that, for example, I know in the first game, very dodgy for the goal where she gets rounded. And I don't know, I think there's just a little bit of that, I don't know, shakiness at times. But for first, second half, because I didn't really get to watch the second half due to family commitments. But from what I've seen from it was we did look better. We started to create more chances in both games. And I thought the second half, especially in the first game, was, yeah, there was some good signs there. Thought it was all right. But yeah, ultimately, we just didn't really convert. And, you know, it probably is a thing where, you know, there's a, you know, Sam Kerr-sized hole in the attack. That's just kind of inevitable. Obviously, we have Heyman, Gilnick, who I think are players who should play a big role, you know, in our upcoming games. But yeah, at the end of the day, they're not Sam Kerr, you know, and that's fair enough. Like, you can't get angry at them. You know, they're not a world-class striker. But yeah, I don't know. I've, you know, as I've kind of voiced, I'm not particularly fond of, for example, in the first game where we just had six defenders
Here we go.
play.
Here we go. Here we go.
The crash out is coming now. We had six defenders playing at home. We had Winona Henley, who did full credit to her. Like, it's not downplay at all. She had actually had a really good game, I thought, in
Yep.
midfield. But you're playing, you know, someone's very inexperienced, you know, just chuck her in midfield because why not? And then you have, you know, Van Egmond and Cooney Cross, who aren't even, they're relatively, I think, like solid six type modern midfielders anyways. They're not really offensive players. So you have
Well,
them against.
Van Egmond, I feel, is like best as like a second striker.
Oh, I don't like it. As in, if you look at, for example, the way she plays in America, it's actually, she plays more on the pivot. And
Okay.
like if you look at her stats, like she's actually relatively decent defensively. So it's
Yeah.
like
Probably thinking
she
about the
can play
World
more
Cup. Yeah.
advanced, but it's like, and we play her there because we don't really have that. But yeah, but you know, and then you have up top, you just have Raso and Ford, who two great players on their own, but it's like they're not strikers. You just have them up there as like two attackers buzzing around and hoping that they, you know, do something. And it happens at times. Obviously, you saw like in the first game, Caitlin Ford's goal was
That
unbelievable.
was a
Like,
great
just
team
great
goal.
to
Yeah.
obviously it was yeah, Van Egmond with the step over there and Carpenter put the ball in. Like, that was a great goal. Great individuals there stepped up, but it's just, yeah, you're just relying on individual brilliance when you're sort of playing that sort of system. There's just not a lot going on. So yeah, Brazil completely outclasses, I'd say, in both games. That's just sort of the way it is. Like,
I think in the first game, yeah. I think in the first
yeah,
game,
to be fair, I didn't really watch the second game, but
yeah. So I think in the first game, Australia, the Matildas started really slowly. There was, for me, the other thing of this was they played a back five in the first game, and as Jack's touched on, he was absolutely furious with that. But they it wasn't it's not so much even just from the standpoint of in possession and how maybe they didn't look great with the ball in that game, but they also just didn't look great out of possession in terms of that. Like, I don't, that first goal
The
was
low
just a
post.
complete defensive breakdown. And so there was definitely some teething issues in the first game with adjusting to playing with a back five. And then it seemed like they had to readjust again in the second game to then going to a back four again. So there's a bit of that. There was a bit of that, it feels. And obviously, like, in these international windows, they don't have a lot of time to work on a new system and all this sort of stuff. The same issues that the Socceroos have. The Matildas have the same sorts of issues like that. But I think in both games, if you took the 20 minutes aside, you could actually say, like, both teams are pretty evenly matched in both games, I felt. And the second game in particular, I thought, in the second half, like, I was watching the last 20 minutes thinking, like, how have we not scored here? Like, it was very sort of, maybe there could have been more shots on goal and more actual working of the goalkeeper, but the pressure was like Brazil couldn't get out. There were some good combinations. Kuni Cross was awesome in the second game, particularly the second half. Daniela Galic, wow, was brilliant in the second half. Once she come on, really looked comfortable. That's an awesome sign for the Matildas to have a young player coming in and looking comfortable. We know that depth is the big issue for the Matildas to kind of solve moving forward. And if Shaun Fryer as well, maybe not didn't contribute a lot on the ball, but her defensive work rate was superb, I thought, in the second game too. Yallop buzzes around, really energetic. Ellie Carpenter, both games, like, just didn't stop, up and down. Her motor is incredible. Maybe there's a conversation to be had about kind of her end product in the final third being a little bit better, with final delivery and things like that. But yeah, I think the striker point's interesting. I think, like, obviously, forward set up Raza, that was a great goal yesterday. The goal that Matilda scored, and Ford's goal at Suncorp as well was a great goal. But you definitely feel when, like, Gilnick did really well off the bench, and you felt actually playing with kind of a target presence and a proper nine, just helped the Matildas a bit more structurally, I feel, with their attacks in possession. So, yeah, that's something to keep in mind moving forward. The other thing is, this camp is very much like now a lot of the European-based players are going to go back. They're not going to play against Chinese Taipei. We're going to see like a very domestic-based team. Basically, like an A-League women's all-star team almost against Chinese Taipei in these two games. So that's going to be really interesting from a depth standpoint. And I think also, I mentioned Galic, but they gave a first cap to Natasha Pryor as well. So there's kind of girls who have been either on the fringe or coming into camp for the first time are actually getting an opportunity, and that's important because we kind of the last qual the camp the World Cup campaign and. There was all this talk about building depth leading up to it, and Gustafsson was playing a lot of these players and stuff. And then when it actually came to the World Cup, we didn't really use a lot of players. So, yeah, that's a real big kind of thing going into the next cycle, the next World Cup. So, yeah, overall, like, that's the other thing is Brazil, very good. Very good. They've got, I think they were talking about, like, to be honest with you, I didn't do like a lot of sort of in-depth research on Brazil's team. But from what I understand, they're kind of going through a different sort of period themselves, and there's a lot of young, exciting talent there, and you could see it in these two games as well.
From what I've seen, a lot of them play in the domestic leagues, which is interesting there. Like, a lot of young players obviously have some class up playing, for example, in the European leagues too. But yeah, like they were good. I don't know. I'm interested to see, for example, how some of the more domestic players do step up. Shaun Fryer, for example, was one. Yeah, I think she's excellent. Like it just offers that sort of speed and dribbling ability. And like you said, she has experience of playing more as a wing back, for example, at Brisbane Roar, domestic level too. So she has that aspect to her too, which is great. And yeah, you need that versatility at times, especially against maybe a Chinese Taipei where we're going to be controlling a lot more possession. Yeah, maybe, for example, have her there sort of bombing down, maybe playing even as like a left back at times, you know what I mean? That can get forward and really attack. So I think it's going to be a good challenge. as well. You know, it's not going to be easy. You know, I'm looking at some of their results, and I was noticed 3-0 last time there. So it's not going to be a walk in the park, especially for a side that is going to be relatively inexperienced, sort of all coming together to play. So I think for people expecting to be, oh, it's going to be easy, you know, run all over them, yada, yada. Like, just, I don't know. Like, don't be that confident. Really don't. And yeah, but I think it'll be a good overall sort of experience for a really young, you know, relatively young group of players that will, yeah, come together and see what they can do. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see that, and I'm hoping we see more minutes of Danny Garlic, because yeah, what a bloody player, mate. Oh my God. 18 years old. Insane.
He's like a unicorn midfielder, you know? It's
Yeah, it has
like,
it all. Has it all.
but like, I can't say the physical attributes in a
Yeah, oh,
midfielder
it's
like
literally
that.
the thing I've been talking about recently, where it's like for fans, we don't have that. We don't have that just physical player that can, you know, has the technical ability to in the center of
The
the park.
mix, the
Rashid has
mix.
that. Yeah.
Also, oh, last thing on this, the Matildas refereeing.
Yeah, I actually forgot to
Basically,
mention that.
hey, an all you can hack buffet in these two games
Yeah.
for the Brazilians. So
Gee whiz.
yeah, I think Hayley Raso increased her fan base quite heavily amongst the Australian public in these two games too, because she was ready to fight one of the Brazilians. That was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, shout out her. Shout out her. She's a good fighter. Like, I think you need that spirit. Like, especially in a game, you know, against the Brazilians, they were playing very, like, for a friendly. It's pretty crazy to
Oh
think about how
yeah,
physical
like
they're playing.
they, and even like the celebrations of full time of both games, like
Yeah.
they really wanted to win both games. Now, fair enough, like whatever. Yeah, it's, you know, it's for them maybe as a team, they think it's a big accomplishment for us to go to Australia and win two games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fair
Yeah,
enough.
maybe we should look at it more as it's not a friendly, it's actually an opportunity to knock off a good team like Brazil.
Yeah.
But yeah, the we just gotta, like, I get it. I get it. The Brazilians were very aggressive, particularly in the first game. But there's also, like, you know, we talk about this with the Socceroos when we talk about like the time wasting in Asia. Like, the teams aren't going to change. Like, this is what it
Yeah,
is.
it's gonna
So
keep happening.
you
It's gonna
just
keep
got to get
happening for
used to
sure.
the program
Yeah.
and adapt to the way they play. And actually, Samani kind of said that after the game in Brisbane. He kind of said, you know, we probably got to do a better job of just identifying that that's how the game's being officiated and that's
Yeah.
how it is.
Yeah,
So
oh
yeah. It's definitely it can be a challenge in football. Like a few other sports are like that too. If game gets officiated a certain way, yeah, it's kind of how it is. But dare I say, a lot was being let go
wow.
across both games, not just the game in Brisbane. All right, we are going to finish with some A-League Men Round 7 predictions. So, Jake, we're going to do this like quick fire. All right. So I don't care why you are predicting your score. I'm not interested. Okay, mate.
Right,
Just
thanks,
give me the
man.
score and let's get on with it.
All right, okay.
Right. Good.
I'll try my best. Hard for me, not yet.
it's like gonna start crying. Let's start. Brisbane Roar, Melbourne City is the first game on Friday night. The last time these two played in Brisbane, do you remember the score?
Ooh, good question.
This is a very good question.
I just cannot remember them playing in Brisbane.
Brisbane won 5-1. Do you remember? It was that crazy game.
Oh
Yeah. That
yeah,
was when like Yakalis got in a brawl with the fan at half time. It's pretty funny.
oh my God, yeah, holy shit,
Yeah. So, and that was that Zakovic brawl? It might have been.
let me
Anyway,
confirm.
prediction.
Yeah,
Brisbane.
was Zads,
It
was
was
Zads,
that.
and I'm saying
Zads.
Zads, I'm saying Zads, I'm his
Fucking
mate,
hell.
I'm his mate. But I will slightly disappoint my mate. Well, not, I feel like they'll take it. I'm gonna say 2-2, 2-2 draw.
2-2. Interesting.
I think they'll get a draw.
So I did really poorly with predictions last week.
Yeah, you stepped it
So
up.
got to be
I
a
like
bit.
look, last time I was on, I think I absolutely killed it. Like every game, spot on. Pretty sure.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good for
Just
you,
saying,
mate.
just saying. I don't think.
I'll go 1-1. One all.
Fair enough, yeah.
One all, yeah. So we've got both going to draw. Okay. The Derby. Auckland Wellington. This is going to be a fucking awesome game on Saturday, the early kickoff. Prediction.
I think they're gonna break their. I think they'll keep their scoreless record, but it'll be nil nil. I don't think they'll win.
Interesting.
It's gonna be a fucking snooze fest. I'm just gonna say that. They're just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it follows. See, no, you know what? You know what? Fuck it.
Chiefy.
Yep.
Chiefy.
I'm going to go...
He's learned.
I'm going to go 1-0 Wellington. I'm going to go 1-0 Wellington. I reckon... No, you know what? I think Wellington are a little bit better than... Like,
no,
I know
what
it was...
to the no explanations? Like, I don't mind it, but...
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I just... Okay, 1-0 Wellington. Yeah, you're right. No explanation. 1-0
No
Wellington.
explanation. Chiefy ball. That's the only explanation you need.
That's it. One word, Chiefy ball. Newcastle Adelaide, the Archie Goodwin derby.
Oh, Archie Goodwin derby.
Score prediction. This is in Newcastle.
Ooh. I'm just feeling the draws this week. I think again, 2-all. Maybe
three draws in a row.
3-all.
Pure 3-all.
This is going to be the
you
drunk
think
game.
Newcastle are going to score 3 goals in a game?
No, this is going to be the drunk game because it's Adelaide United, man. Like,
that's actually, yeah, you got to pick one drunk game. You're right.
This will be drunk.
No, I've got another game on the drunk radar. What do I go with here? You know what? 2-1 Newcastle. Adelaide's unbeaten streak is fraudulent, and I think they're going to cop their first L this weekend. So 2-1 Jets. I reckon Newcastle, maybe they're going to have some discussions during the week, might be some heart-to-hearts, and they're going to come out and actually, they're at home too. I think it's a big thing. So they haven't played at home the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I reckon good response.
Answer
2-1. Why not? Eli Adams maybe with a goal.
Yes, let's definitely.
Do it. Oh, fuck, no explanation. Set rules, but don't abide by them. Western United, MacArthur. Is this Saturday night?
Yeah, should be.
Or is it Sunday?
Saturday night.
This is the Saturday night game.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Prediction.
Ooh. I think it's going to be a bit of a snooze fest. I'm going to be honest. Again, a 1-1. I'm just feeling the draws this week. I just think every game is very evenly matched.
You got them 4 draws. What is this?
I'm saying it, 4 draws. Yep.
It's ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure the A-League Women's last week, I think like every single game was basically a draw. Or something like that.
Okay.
So I think it's going to happen this week.
Bizarre. I'm going to go...
Draw it on it. It just does.
No, actually, sorry. I do think it's gone.
MacArthur just going to sit back, try to hit on the counter.
Hey, whoa, no explanations. Whoa. We'll go with a draw. 2-2. I think this is going to be a slightly drunk one. Because, yeah.
A little tipsy.
Just a little bit tipsy. So, yeah, 2-2. All right. Victory.
Ooh,
glory.
Go many different ways.
In Melbourne, Sunday kickoff. Oh, boy. Score prediction.
Last time I predicted victory to win 4-0, I think, against Brisbane, end up only 2-0. Like, it smells like a 4-0 type of game, but, you know what, 3. I'll go 3-0. 3-0 victory. Calm little win. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I'll go 3-1. I'll give Perth a goal. Why not? 3-1.
It'll be target.
Yeah. No, it'll be quiet and go. Just can't see Perth really getting anything out of that game. And
this will be good.
This will be good. Our two AFC participants, Central Coast at home to Sydney FC to finish the round.
Oh, you know what?
Score prediction.
This will be my bold call. 4-0 Sydney. I think they're going to fuck them. They're going to fuck them. Like, I just see it. I can see it right now. I can just see it. I think this is going to be the turning point for Central Coast. I can just see it right now. Like, Sydney, we saw it in there. Christian's just dying right now.
Oh, my God.
But, look. I don't mean it literally, but I do somewhat.
I hope you don't.
Like, as in, this is going to, like, I don't know. I think Sydney are just going to play them off the park. I think it's going to be very similar to the Wellington game, but this time it's going to be more like, obviously Sydney play a bit different, very technical. They like to play through quick passing. I think they're just going to kill them. I really do. Might be a bit bold, but I'm saying it.
See, LA Ball actually kind of owns Jackson Ball a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. See, even if, yeah, I don't think the Mariners are like done.
I think this will be the turning point. I think this sort of game will be.
You reckon? Okay, you reckon they're going to react after this result? That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, I think they showed something in the F3 Derby. I think they actually haven't even played that badly in Asia either. Even though, like, anyway, but another discussion. So, it's in Mariners territory. I'll go 2-0 Sydney. 2-0 Sydney. I don't think they're gonna fuck them, as you put it. Jesus Christ.
I think they will. I think it's
my goodness, Jake.
I can just smell another Wellington here. Another Wellington.
Oh, like how Wellington went there and won 3-0.
Exactly. I can just smell it. I can. It's in the air. It's in the air. I can smell it.
Yeah. All right. I'll go 2-0. All right. So interesting. Interesting. So I've gone Raw City draw, Wellington win, Jets win, Western MacArthur draw, Victory win, Sydney win. And you've gone draw, 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 draw.
Big wins. Two big wins.
And then two big wins, Victory in Sydney. So we're both agreeing that Victory in Sydney will win this week.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. No worries. Don't know why, like, draw, draw merchant. Gonna have to start renaming.
It'll be boring and then it'll get exciting with some big wins.
All right. Anything, any closing remarks? There's one thing that you can do.
What?
Oh, well, you know.
Play Jake Najowski.
yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Play Jake Najowski, please, and maybe they won't draw. Now, you know, I only said draw because I don't think he's going to play. So
it's like if he comes on, 96-minute winner, Jake Najowski.
Thank you very much. Come right back here.
Hashtag free Jake Najowski. The campaign is back.
Back and better than ever.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. Thanks for joining us once again. If you listen through the whole hour and a half, then you are an absolute legend. I believe there actually are some people out there that do that. So that's pretty awesome.
Shout out you.
Yeah, shout out you. And Jake, thank you for attending the pod on this Friday night. Friday night? What the hell am I on about? Monday night?
Yeah.
Bro's getting his days mixed up. And yeah, let's see what happens in A-Liga this week. There's going to be... Let's see what the drunk game's going to be. I reckon it'll be Western MacArthur, but yeah, let's wait and see. All right. Thank you, Jake. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week. Until then, it's bye for now.